Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Fell Into Food Podcast. I am your host, Chef Jeff Fell, and with me today is Diana Gesicking, the General Counsel for Restaurant Technologies, and I am personally super excited for this conversation today, as they have a big piece to do with sustainability in a lot of kitchens, especially around America, and it's probably a system you've never even realized is there in a lot of the places you eat at. So we're going to dig into it. But first, Diana, I'd love to know a little bit about your background and kind of what led you to restaurant technologies.
Sure. So I do love to talk about this stuff. And you will see I am a lawyer, general counsel, but this is really unrelated to what got me here and what got me to restaurant technologies. And that was basically just being a lawyer. I live now in Minnesota. That's where we're headquartered, but I'm originally from New Jersey. Okay. And in a very, very roundabout way, ended up in what we used to call a flyover state. So I don't want to alienate anybody who's from the Midwest.
Yep.
But from New Jersey, from the East Coast, got my original law license in California. I spent a decade in Chicago. Previously, I was more in the consumer goods kind of business. Mm-hmm. And coming over to restaurant technologies, which is more B2B, it was a whole new world. And especially where you have a non-consumable good. Oil is consumable, yes, but our systems, mm-hmm. the things that we install on our customers and our restaurants and the kitchens, those are not consumable. Those are there. They last 20 plus years. So it's a little different of a world. And then with this opportunity, I'd also got the chance and the privilege to work on our ESG, our environmental social governance story. And we had this fantastic sustainability story that nobody was really telling. So I got the opportunity to put metrics to it, numbers, data, really dig in and be able to tell this awesome story to our customers and to the public as a whole, especially how we benefit and help our customers achieve their own sustainability goals.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw a lot of those numbers when I guess maybe for context of how I got to know who Restaurant Technologies is I was running university in Indianapolis. And I think it was a cold call, actually. It was, hey, we have this oil system, you'd be interested. And it has a lot of sustainability practices and safety. And I'm like, sure, why not, right? It can't hurt to listen. So it was a salesperson and one of the chefs at the time. Again, this is now going back 6 years, quite a little bit ago. And after I kind of thumbed through the PowerPoint that they had sent, I kind of like, it clicked in my head. I was like, well, this kind of makes sense. And when they sat down, I was like, all right, what's the gimmick? Where's the gotcha kind of moment? But as they were talking, there was no gimmick. It was, no, here's the system that we kind of provide up front, given it's within the normal spec range. And then we provide high quality oil, gets recycled, the whole nine yards, and gave me the spiel. And I was like, give me a contract. I want to sign today.
Exactly. That's what we like.
It was so funny because the salesman kept trying to go, and the chef was kind of like kicking him under the table, like, okay, he wants a contract. We don't need to talk anymore. So it didn't take very long, and we got it off to the university, and they're like, well, yeah, if it's going to save us money and it's safe, like why, and sustainable? And at that time, they were really wanting that kind of local piece too, because of the soybeans that were used, that we were going to use for it, were locally grown too. So maybe give a high level of what these oil systems are, so folks just kind of have a general understanding of what we're talking about.
I think we are talking in code. You and I both know what we're talking about, but nobody else. They're like oil and fuel and what's happening. So yes, I'm happy to do that.
All right. Yeah. So high level, what the units are, because I know there's a few different setups of it, but just for in layman's terms, I guess, so you know the folks listening can understand.
Sure. So Restaurant Technologies, a little bit about the company too. We've been around since the 90s, so long-standing company. We have almost 40,000 customers across the U.S., and our 41 depots serve us almost every state. There's two states we can't quite reach, but never say never. If we want to open a depot in Hawaii, I will be happy to go up there. I will run that depot. Sure. Just send down the way. but for not sure. There yet. I know, not there yet. So our biggest product is our total oil management system. And like you said, nobody really sees it. And our customers are not going to see it because it's in the back of the house. And that's one of our biggest things is we want to control the kitchen chaos. I'm sure you know better than anybody that back of the house can be chaotic. Mm-hmm. And there can be things and there can be jobs and things that people just really don't want to do. And one of those is dealing with hot cooking oil. And so our systems automate that. We have two tanks. We have a fresh oil tank. We have a used cooking oil tank, or GUCO as we call it. And we automate the whole process. No longer do you have to take out those plastic jibs and unwrap them and unpackage them and pour them into the fryer, right? And then, of course, it's like a shampoo bottle. You can never get all of it out, right? And so then you're just sitting there. And who's going to stand there for 5 minutes that every last little bit of it drip out, right? So you're going to throw that away. You're going to maybe you'll recycle it, maybe. Or maybe you'll just throw it into the big trash bin in the back. Yep. And along with that goes the oil, the plastic, the cardboard, all of it. All that's gone. With our system, it's a touch of a button with a wand. It fills it up automatically. It monitors and tells you when you're doing your filtering, when you shouldn't be filtering versus having it on a schedule. It can actually monitor and say, hey, you had a really busy morning. You need to filter now versus, or hey, you were really slow. You actually don't need to filter per your schedule that you would normally do, which really helps with the cost savings and extends the life of the oil. And then, of course, we also eliminate the really, really, really nasty job. And that's where you have to take that hot cooking oil out to the back. A ditch or the I saw two guys down in Florida recently. It was a parking lot with a back of a restaurant, and I knew what they were doing. They're carrying out this metal bin and they're dumping it in the dumpster, right? That is gone, entirely eliminated. Our used cooking oil tank, it's again with the push of a button, it gets sent right into that tank, and then we come and we collect it. And the cool thing is that all of it, all of the 100% of all of the used cooking oil that we collect from all of our customers over the country, all of it gets recycled into renewable diesel or biodiesel.
Yeah. To put it in even more layman's terms, because this is how I give it to folks. Think of you have two hot water heaters side by side, one with regular oil, like cooking oil, and then one that's going to have the used. And the process, as Diana said, of cleaning out a fryer is you have these big, imagine a 35-pound what we call jib or jug of plastic. And so you're trying to lug these massive things and store them. They're not small by any means. So you have to lug these things to the fryer, fill it up. And then when you're done, in most cases, you know, some have a little more efficiencies on the fryers nowadays, but still traditional. Imagine taking a metal pipe, you open the front door, you screw this pipe on, and then I've seen stock pots. I've seen, the actual metal containers, and you literally are taking oil that is incredibly hot and you're opening up a valve and letting this hot oil fill whatever it is up. And then you have to go take it to some sort of disposal. Now tell me that doesn't sound like a nightmare, because every kitchen I've ever been in, it is the absolute worst. And trying to get people to want to do that is a nightmare. So seeing this was like, imagine literally having a gas tank handle right next to your fryer, and you just put it over it and you click it and magic oil starts filling up your fryer. So
it's done.
It's complex, but it's simple, but on the back end, I know from an engineering standpoint and the pipes and everything else that goes into it, it's complex, but it's in theory, it's pretty simple and almost kind of a no brainer. I don't understand why more people don't use it, because then that really goes into the sustainability piece of the system. I have all the facts here and we can just run down them because I was blown away. So I'm going to read off some of these and maybe we'll just go line by line and like really what these mean in layman's terms. So this is 2022 to 2023. And for folks that are watching, I'll throw this up on the screen too. But so from 2022, 289.4 million pounds of waste oil recycled, jumped up to in 2023, 314.1 million pounds. So touch on that.
That's a lot. It's a lot. It means just a few hundred million pounds of used cooking oil. It's awesome. I know. I think you're going to go through some other numbers, but people can't really get a full picture of what that means. And when we talk about, we save emissions, you avoid all these carbon emissions, and it's really great. No greenhouse gases going in. Again, you can't really picture that. But when you think about it and you realize that it's the equivalent at recycling and avoiding of those emissions is the equivalent of over 100,000 cars not being driven on the road. That I love the one, if you think about it, it's nearly a billion. It's, I think, 900 million plus.
Yep.
Coffee cups. Yep. We all have coffee cups, right? Whether it's tea, whether it's coffee, we all know what those are. We get them all the time. Almost a billion just not existing. And so it's really fun because you could say, oh, this many million pounds of used cooking oil, and what does that look like? And this many millions of carbon emissions per pound of gas and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
We have to put it in terms that people don't understand.
Yeah. So the other ones, that's also 64 Olympic pools, 855,417 bathtubs, and 3,055,061 tanks of gas. So if that doesn't put it in perspective of how much oil that is, that will just completely tell you. Now, we talked about those jibs and those jugs. So in 2022, what was saved was 16 million. That jumped up to 17.4 million. That is an astronomical amount of those jibs that are saved, which also turns into, I would assume, is that also bleeds into the landfill savings, correct?
Yes, yes, exactly. Again, try to put it, you know, think about how many of those you would go through on a typical day in a kitchen, on a typical day, a typical week. And again, with our systems, not only are there the savings from, you know, avoiding all of that plastic and the cardboard and everything that just goes into the landfills, but also too, since it's all automated, you don't have to worry about ordering it. You don't have to worry about, you know, being short, running out, not having enough jibs, or not somebody knocking them over or spilling or slipping and falling, because the oil is just in the tanks and in the fryer and it's nowhere else.
Yeah.
So it's safety on top of sustainability.
Yeah. It's like incognito mode. Because you don't even know when they're coming. All of a sudden, you check the online monitor. So imagine like a little cell-type data reader that's sending signals out. And when it hits a certain threshold that you've set up, all of a sudden, the magic RT truck comes, takes all your old oil, fills you back up, and you're still rocking and rolling. And you have no idea, because it can happen in the middle of the night because of the way the systems are,
yes,
are put onto the – for most of them, they have the direct connect, and they literally just hooking up a hose and filling up and going. So there's also that piece of, I don't need to worry about, is someone there, someone not there, putting it away. Like you said, the storage is it's all built in.
Exactly. The goal is to have as little destruction to a kitchen as possible. So to make it easier and to let the employees get back to doing what they love to do, what they're there to do, to make the good food, to keep the kitchen running, to service the customers. That's what they should be focused on. They shouldn't be figuring out, oh, is my oil clean enough? Is it, what do I do with it? Do I need more? That we got to take that out of the equation and let them get back to doing their jobs.
Well, so yeah, so there's all that. Plus, we didn't even touch, I want to hit on a couple more numbers, but the filtering. The yes. ability to filter your oil. And again, in layman's terms, for people that don't work in restaurants, that is one of the biggest killers of oil, because what happens is you're frying chicken and French fries. There's all the little bits and pieces at the bottom of the bags that end up just staying in your oil and they burn. And so if you don't filter, your oil just continues to burn those products. And ultimately, they don't really break down. They just turn into fine dust, blackish, powdery. I don't even know how to describe it.
That sounds sludge. Delicious. What are you talking about? That sounds great.
Yeah, sludge, really. And that's what's end up affecting your food. So now you also are putting out a poor quality product for the product that you do have to fry. Whereas when you filter, so maybe talk about what that process is, just kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah. So filtering, again, it makes sure that your oil is clean and fresh, and that it's going to cook the best possible food and turn out the best products to your customers. And with our filtration monitoring, it makes sure that you're doing it when you should, so that you're not waiting too long and then you get the gunk and the dirt and bits and the oil just doesn't really taste as good and it doesn't fry as well. And so our monitoring enables you to figure out when are the optimal times, when you should actually be filtering versus not, and if you're doing it too often, too soon. And it's a money-saving thing, too, because if you were doing it way more than you should, and then suddenly you don't have to as much and you're extending the life of your oil and you're not using as much, it has cost-saving benefits as well as making sure the food is tasty and fried up really well.
Yeah. And with that monitoring system, you can know if someone accidentally, you have cooks, right? You're not going to be there potentially 24/7, especially in a larger operation. all of a sudden you'll get an alert and it'll say your oil's been changed out, and you can kind of wait. It's not time to change oil. You can go and talk to people and say, well, why do we? And it also is kind of that safety guard, because if you have the jibs, unless you're obviously monitoring your stock, you're not going to know when they're potentially filtering or changing. And that right. really gives that monitoring to a whole nother level to an operator. So let's get back into some more numbers. So 2022, 66.6 million pounds of greenhouse gases. And then that jumped up to in 2023 to 72.3 million pounds of carbon emissions saved from the system. The next
it's very small numbers. We're talking just, minuscule. Just nothing really that big.
Nothing at all. Let's see. Trash saved. So these are your actual, stuff that's going into the landfill, most likely. I mean, some might be recycled, but probably not a lot. 2022, 24.6 million pounds, up to 26.6 million pounds of trash.
That's a lot.
The numbers blew my mind when I saw what they came out, because I saw it at a unit level of how much savings there is and what you're doing to impact the environment. But when you put it on a grand scale, it's absolutely mind blowing. And then the last stat is from 99,340, that's the emissions, number of cars, up to 107,824. Yeah. Those are significant jumps in 1 year. What do you attribute to that? What is the real reason? Are people catching on? Is it word of mouth? What is that driver behind more folks wanting to use the system?
I think that's it, right? We want to grow. As I mentioned, we have nearly 1,000 customers. We want to double that, triple that. The market is huge. We are barely even penetrating it. And there's so much opportunity these days. Obviously, you talk about universities, you talk about hotels, hospitals, gas stations. You go now and you find out that, hey, the Quick Trip that I go to fuel my car, they fried chicken. Mm-hmm. And which blew my mind, honestly, when I started working for the company. I'm like, we're at gas stations. What are they serving? Slushies? What are we frying? And so the really cool part is their idea of the circular fuel economy. And we have customers now where we'll deliver that fresh oil. They'll fry the food. Then we'll take away the used cooking oil. It gets converted to biodiesel that is then at the same pumps at that store. And so people the fuel, the oil that's frying their chicken is then being converted into the biodiesel and they're putting in their cars. Wow. And then us too, right? So I can get into the nitty gritty. I can talk about this stuff all day. I'm kind of an ESG nerd, sustainability nerd. I'm a lawyer, so hand in hand there. But we also want to impact our scope 1 and scope 2 emissions reductions, right? And so everything that we do, that our systems do, the savings, they are all from the customer. So that is nothing to do with us. We can store by store. We have a sustainability calculator. We can tell you how much greenhouse gas emissions that store is going to avoid based on their oil usage. But we also want to lower our own emissions. So you talk about the oil that we deliver and the used cooking oil we collect. We are trying to increase our own use of that biodiesel and renewable diesel in our own trucks. So we're also bringing it to you in the trucks that are using the biodiesel and the renewable diesel as being created by taking away the UCO that the customers are using. So it's a really nice circular fuel economy story. And not everybody thinks about it that way.
Yeah. Cause what happens traditionally? Like, let's just talk about, right, you guys, that's what you're doing, but what happens to the normal everyday restaurant that's just putting it into a big grease bin? What happens to it then?
So sometimes renderers do come and they'll pick it up, but oftentimes, honestly, it'll go to a landfill, it'll go into the ground, it seeps in, right? It just kind of just gets discarded. And like I said, 100% of everything that we collect is recycled, which is really awesome. So having customers become aware of that, mentioned at grocery stores, all your kinds, casinos, you would be really surprised, mom and pop shops, everybody, and big chains, of course, right? Everybody is thinking, how can we be better for the environment, be better for our world, be better for our customers? Because customers are demanding it too. It's not just that there's a big corporate thinking, oh, I got to do this. It's the customers saying, no, What are you wrapping my burger in? Mm-hmm. What straw am I drinking through? What is this cup made out of? And it's pretty cool that you tell them that the oil that's frying their chicken and their fries and their chips and everything like that, hey, that could potentially be fueling your car as well.
Yeah. So you touched on safety, because we really didn't even touch safety and what it provides a restaurant, not only the owner, operator, but the day-to-day person. So maybe let's talk a little bit about safety and some of the features that, because you've eliminated a lot of steps, what that means for a restaurant.
Oh, safety is number one. I personally would love to say sustainability is number one, but it's an added benefit, whereas safety is so key and core to everything that we do. And so we talked about it before, right? The taking out of that hot used oil, that's a burn risk. That's a slick risk. The number of workers, comp, injuries, and people getting hurt and on the job, nobody wants that job mm-hmm. because it comes with risk. So our systems eliminate that entirely.
And you even have folks on your team that help with that risk mitigation as well, right? For companies that want to use it, because obviously it can affect insurance premiums and other things that a lot 100%. Of people aren't thinking about. But when you can present it to your insurance, you can say, hey, look, we're doing this. And I believe you guys have not a full team, but I know you have a team of folks that's what they do and help with.
We do. And we also, I know we've been talking a lot about oil. I must, of course, plug for our other products. We have our autonomous system.
Yeah.
Again, you talk about controlling kitchen chaos. There's also the aspect of having to have that hood and flu cleaned, having to shut down, have cleaners come in. Well, we have an automated system. You'll notice I say automated a lot because we like to take out that human issue, right? Mm-hmm. That let's get the workers back to just cooking the food and running the restaurant. And so it's an automated hood and flu cleaning system. And so you don't have to shut down, you don't have mm-hmm. to have people come out. And it does it every single day. So it really helps prevent that buildup of grease and grime that can be a real risk of fire in a restaurant, because that's kind of what happens, right? It catches on yep. that grime and that grease, and you grease fire. And so having that cleaned every single day helps reduce that risk. So couple that with our total oil management system, and just what you were talking about, yes, you can allow our customers to save a ton on their insurance premiums.
Yeah, the auto mist, I'm glad you brought it up because it was on my list to talk about. And it's a newer feature, and hopefully it catches on, because it's newer, I believe, correct? Yeah.
It's newer than our oil systems. Our oil systems, we're going nearly 30 years strong. So yes, auto mist is still infantile compared to our oil systems.
Yeah. So again, for those, again, not in the restaurant, I always like to try to explain it in a way that they would be like, whoa, okay, that's what they're talking about. Imagine you have these, you know, think of your above your range, your house, you have a little hood. Imagine one that's like 100 times bigger than that in a restaurant, and it's catching all the different fumes and all the grease that normally builds up. And normally what you get your house, that brown stuff, that just magnify that. And that's what goes up into those hoods. Well, those have to be cleaned, because that then goes out to a roof and vents out. Right? So there's these little grates kind of looking things, you know, the baffles. And if you don't continuously clean those, it'll build up. And what this system does is keeps that clean. So you don't have these buildups. You don't have potential fires. Not to mention the stuff can start to build up and just drip down. So now you have more other safety hazards of it. You know, it's oil buildup. Well, that can drip into an open flame. That can drip into a fryer. And we all know what happens when liquids go dripping into hot oil. Fires, and then all sorts of crazy stuff happens. So it's a really cool system. I haven't got to see like one in action. I've seen kind of the mechanisms of it at one of the local guys, one of the reps has kind of mock, like this is kind of what it would be like, but I haven't physically seen one. So that whole system takes that whole process out of having to constantly clean it. So translate a lot of what this is. Now let's touch on labor. What does that mean from a labor standpoint and savings for the customers?
So as I mentioned before, it really, from a labor standpoint, it's automating things. So it's saving time. One of the areas where we are always looking to innovate is how can we make it even easier for our customers to do their job? So what if it's a push notification to your phone? What if it's all available via an app? And so these are the areas where we are constantly trying to innovate. So already having our systems in place, again, it saves time, It saves energy, it saves effort, it makes it safer and smarter. It's easier for the customers and their employees to just go right back into and focus on getting that most productivity out of their employees, which isn't going to be hauling oil or cleaning hoods, right? It's going to be serving customers, their customers. I'm going to talk about our customers and their customers, but serving people who are buying the food, who are eating at the restaurant, who are dining there. And that's really where you get the biggest efficiencies from our systems for our customers.
Yeah. And I have to give like a kudos for your customer service. It is, in my experience, impeccable compared to other folks that I have used. The responsiveness, the willingness to work with some of these units that may say, well, you know, we can't afford, you know, the potential electrical or whatever it may be. And you all work really hard to try and really offer the customer a solution. We've had where the site visits happen and, you know, it's too far away to put in an actual, the tanker type unit. So there's the mobile units that you guys have that can be, you know, accessed. There's so many different things that you do to try and help, truly help the customer. It's not just, let's make a bunch of money. It's how do we help our operators in this sector on something that nobody really ever wants to talk about or deal with. And even though it's probably one of your biggest expenses in the kitchen is your oil and your hoods. It just, it is. So I got to say thank you on the customer service side, because it really has been truly impeccable in my experience. So
thank you. That means a lot. And I know to anybody from RT who's going to be listening to this, that is going to hit home. Customer is one of our five C's. It's one of our core, you know, values that we drive everything that really fuels everything that we do. I said fuel. It's talking about my fuel. It's just under the tongue, but it's on my mind all the time. But it really means a ton to us. We're a 24/7 company. Our guys out in the field who are doing the day to day, putting it in, getting in the trucks and servicing the customers, they're the real heroes out there. And that's what we attribute it all to. So we're lucky to have such an amazing group of people here.
Yeah. Anything else folks need to know about Restaurant Technologies, what you guys do?
About what we do? I think we covered it a lot. So our website, I'm sure I might get a chance to plug it at the end. But yeah. If you visit, you know, www.rti.inc.com. And I'm pretty sure I just gave away my age because I listed www, and I don't think anybody does that anymore, especially not anybody who's on TikTok or anything like that. I don't even know if that's cool anymore. Anyway, I digress. Our website is chock full of such great information, tutorials, how-tos, videos. That is really where you can learn so much about our systems, our products, plus then also just the company as a whole, what drives us, our sustainability mission, everything about that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you can plug them or not, but any of your current big customers, I've wanted to say them, but I don't know. And you would know, being legal, if you can say them or not, because I think when you say, if you can say some of the names, people will go, oh, that's why this potentially tastes so good. So can you say their names?
Pretty much any major QSR, quick service restaurant, is going to be a customer of ours. We had had an incredibly long standing relationship with McDonald's for, you know, they were our first customer. So we've been partnering with them and support everything that they do as well. And they are huge in their sustainability efforts. There's the S of ESG, their social efforts, NIC DEI, everything that they do is really incredible. So we're really proud to be a partner with them.
So that is why, for all those listening, those French fries taste so damn good. The oil plays a big piece into it. We can thank Restaurant Technologies for helping with that. When you get to go to McDonald's and eat some of those French fries. So like you said, visit the website. We'll also put this into the show notes. Anywhere else to find you? Anything to check out for those listening?
The National Restaurant Association, of course, depending on the audience, we go to most trade shows, the big trade shows. We'll definitely be there. I also want to say one of the big things that we care about too when it comes to sustainability is not just the end user too, but also upstream. So for us looking at, you know, you talk about what makes really good oil, what makes things taste really good, is those oil suppliers. We partner with them and we want to make sure that we are working with them on their regenerative harvesting practices, things that they are doing also to ensure that they're taking care of the environment and putting sustainability first as well. So It's full supply chain, full cycle from bean until it gets into the fryer, until it's converted into the fuel that's driving your car and our trucks. So it really is a holistic system, and we're excited to see where that goes in the future.
Yeah, truly regenerative is kind of the new terminology that's coming out, and it's great to see, you know, more than just the farmer being a part of that system and what you guys do. Are you personally going to be at NRA?
I'm not personally going to be there. I know I am the lawyer. They kind of hide me away sometimes, except to talk about ESG. If I was going to be there, are you still going to be there?
Yeah, of course. Can't. I'm up in Chicago. It's like, it's almost a sin if you're in the food industry not to go living so close that you can just drive in, park, and go. You don't have to get hotels or fly or anything. So, for sure.
I will see. Maybe they'll let me go next year. I can put a plug in for you in this podcast to let me go. Please stop by the booth. Say hi to everybody there. There's some of our great representatives who've been talking even better than I can about all of this.
Awesome. Diana, you are a ray of sunshine in this space. Thank you for coming on and chatting Think Sustainable. Like you, I could probably talk all day about all the different initiatives going on, but I truly thank you and RT for everything that you do. So until next time, we'll catch you guys on the sunny side.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.